recorded.
Okay, there we go. Thanks, friends, for hanging on. Well, I did that. So we're going to kind of recap a little bit the last 2 weeks or so since we last chatted. Since then, you had some reading to do. You had a little activity to do. So Abby and I responded to each of your activities. If you did not read what we responded yet, log in, see what we had to say. If we ask you questions, you're welcome to answer the questions. We can have a little bit of a dialogue back and forth, but be sure to check that out. So last week, you used a lot of different words to describe leadership, and I sent it in that little word graphic to all of you via email. So a lot of people identified communication, involvement, listening, delegation, organization, you know, thinking, helping others, and giving opinions. We had lots of insights into leadership qualities. In your assignment, we talked about how anyone could be a leader, but might not always think of themselves as a leader. So a lot of you identified people in your lives that were leaders, but then you were also able to start identifying small or large ways that you were a leader in your life. And I think by the end of that activity, all of you kind of understood that you do carry a leadership role. So whether it is a role with a title or a role within your family or your friend group or a club at school, there is different ways that you are leaders. And so I'm hoping everyone felt that by the end of the activity. This week, Abby will talk a little bit about that, but she's also going to start talking about the 13 core competencies for recreation leaders and how you can go about developing your own leadership growth plan. So that is going to be the activity that is due on the 24th, and we will talk about it a little bit today to give you some guidance on what you need to do. For today, we're going to do introductions. We're going to introduce this week's content and the activities you're going to do, and then sharing our opinions about leading in recreation. So that is our start. I'm going to pass it over to Abby, who is going to kind of lead most of the rest of this call. So Abby, it's yours.
Awesome. Okay, so we're going to start with some introductions. So for these ones, it would be great if you could tell us your name, your community, and a new insight you've learned about leadership over the past few weeks. If you're not sure, you can always pass, but it'd be great to everyone participate. Well, the order we'll go in today will be Jana, Chloe, Eliza, Alicia, and Caitlin. So, Jana, if you want to start, or if you need more time, I can go ahead. So I'll go first. So my name is Abby, and I'm originally from Hay River, but right now I'm in Old Alberta at school. And then something I learned over leadership is the different ways that people have identified leaders this week and a lot of the similarities between leaders that you guys identified, even though they're in pretty different leadership roles. So that's something that was kind of cool for me to see. Jana, if you're ready, you can go ahead.
My name is Jana. I'm from Yellowknife. And I learned the same thing, too, that you said, that leadership doesn't have to be about titles. And while I was answering the questions, I was starting to see how I was a leader in, like, small parts in my life. And those are also important, too.
Yeah, it's really awesome how you kind of identified ways that you're a leader yourself, kind of going through these sort of things. So that's awesome. Chloe, you can go next if you're ready.
Okay, my name is Chloe. I'm in Yellowknife, and one thing that I learned is how many, like, different types of leaders there are just by reading all the different submissions on that last assignment. It's crazy how many, like, ways we're all leaders, but in so completely different ways.
Yeah, I definitely found that too, and it was great to read through them and see everyone's different insights on it. That's great. Eliza, we'll have you go next if you're ready.
Yeah. Can I pass?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Okay, we'll go to Alicia then.
Hi.
Hi.
I haven't come up with an answer yet. Can I pass?
That's okay. Yeah, you can pass for sure, and then if you think of it later, you can jump in. Yeah, sounds good. And then we have Caitlin.
Hi, my name's Caitlin. I'm currently in Yellowknife. And for the leadership part, I learned that everybody has, like, very different interpretations of the values of what they see in a leader. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a great takeaway from this. And then finish off, we'll have Amanda go.
Thanks. It's Amanda here. I'm in Samba K, Yellowknife. So what was really interesting, I read everybody's posts, just Abby and I kind of split on responding to people. But it was really interesting to read all of your posts, and so many of you, the qualities that you identified in the person you admire as a leader or as you see as a leader in your life, it was really interesting that those qualities were then things that you identified in yourself or that you aspire to have in yourself. So it was really interesting, you know, to kind of see that. And it's not like a leader is someone that's far out there and not relatable to you. Pretty much all of you that chose leaders were people that were relatable to you and have similar or the same qualities as a leader that you also see in yourself. So that was super interesting to me to see that. And this really goes to show that who you spend your time around really impacts the qualities and attributes that you yourself then have, or the values that you have, are really impacted by the people that you surround yourself with. So I thought that was super interesting.
I found that too. That's awesome. Okay, so we're going to dive into our PowerPoint here on our slides, and I realize that not everyone might be able to look at them, so I'll kind of give a little summary on all of them as we go through. So we're going to start by looking at slides 13 and 14. So nationally, the field of recreation engages many volunteers and provides jobs for many young adults. And across the North, we need to find ways to re-engage community volunteers and ways to get more children and youth involved in recreation. So recreation began as a grassroots or community movement around the 1970s. There was a shift in how recreation was delivered, and governments became providers of recreation. During this time, many recreation facilities were built, and the shift continued with recreation delivery taking on more of a business model because fees had to be charged in order to cover the cost of operating facilities that they had been built. So about 10 or so years ago, we started to realize that recreation is not sustainable if we expect someone else to provide it. And we have always known this in smaller communities. However, we need to raise a new generation who will be the volunteer leaders and paid recreation staff to make sure we can continue to make community recreation accessible and available to all. So slide 13 kind of talks about recreation capacity and ensuring that continued growth and sustainability of recreation. And then slide 14 focuses on things that we need to do. So some things are like attracting new leaders through career awareness and development, offering high quality and competency-based training, particularly in under-resourced rural remote areas, recruit more people to lead in community recreation, and engage volunteers of all ages from all walks of life. So, and this...
Abby, I'm going to pause you because there was actually a question that was supposed to be added here.
Okay.
That I forgot.
That's a good question.
Like Abby's saying, there's a lot there that we talk about
building capacity and really needing volunteers, because in recreation, it's not just the rec coordinator in your community that's responsible for ensuring programming happens. It takes lots of people to ensure those things happen. So the question that's to be added here is around volunteers and how you all see that happening in your community. So do you see the same people volunteering? Do you see lots of volunteers? Is it a challenge to get volunteers? What do you see happening with your communities when it comes to either events or programs happening in relation to volunteers? So Abby, I'll let you lead the conversation circle here.
Yeah, for sure. I can kind of start off with that one. In Hay River growing up, a lot of the times we had the same volunteers helping out with a lot of the same sports and activities in the community, and then as well as recreation staff. But if I think about school sports, I had a lot of the same coaches going through those over the years. So I had a lot of similar volunteers and not many new ones coming in. So we'll go in reverse order this time. So I'll have Amanda go next, and then Caitlin, Alicia, Eliza, Chloe, and Jana. And then again, you can pass if you don't want to talk about it. So we'll start with Amanda.
Yeah, absolutely. So the question is about volunteers in your community. And do you see lots of volunteering happening, or how do you see volunteering happening in your community?
Okay.
So I can
what slide are we on?
We're still on slide 14. Just the question isn't on the screen there.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, no problem. So for myself, it's interesting because I see a lot of groups having lots of volunteers, and then I also see a lot of groups not having a lot of volunteers. And so what I've kind of seen is I think it really depends on people's interests. So if it's something that they're interested in or they have an emotional connection to, that they're more willing to volunteer. Whereas, I don't know, events or programs that people aren't as interested in or it's not as mainstream, then I find people, it's a little bit more challenging to get volunteers. At least that's been my experience.
I've definitely experienced that too. All right, we'll have Caitlin go next if you're ready.
So with COVID going on, volunteering has kind of changed because a lot of those groups that used to be like really big can't do all the activities they used to because they're not COVID safe, and like sports, especially school sanctioned sports, also can't really happen right now because of that. But in years previous and in the events that can still happen, I feel a lot of like the same people doing it, but they stick to like one specific area, I guess. I don't know if that makes sense. Like the people who are more involved in sports still kind of just stay in that section, but they're a part of as many as they can.
Mm-hmm, yeah. For sure. A lot of the times people kind of stick to things that they're most comfortable with, if it's a coaching or volunteer role, instead of branching out to other activities. So I definitely noticed that too. All right, we'll go to Alicia if you are ready.
Okay. I have an answer for the first one.
Okay, sure, go ahead.
I think that a leader is someone who really pushes themselves out there and has like a clear picture of what they're gonna do or a specific goal they want to achieve. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, for sure. I just had trouble hearing the last part of that.
Yeah.
Awesome. Did you want to talk about the second part?
Yeah.
Okay.
Our town is small, so there's not a lot of volunteering happening. But mainly, it's like the same people who volunteer for things they like or if they find it interesting.
Mm-hmm, for sure. I find that too. I'm definitely more keen to volunteer for things that I really enjoy and things like that, and then I have a harder time even just finding out about other opportunities to volunteer in. So I find that as well. And then I think Eliza's next.
Hello?
Hi, Eliza. Are you going to do this one?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Usually around Christmas games, there's quite a bit of volunteer, as in, like, cooks for the feast, janitors. And dances.
Awesome. Do you find that it's the same people every year doing those jobs, or do different people jump in and take on those roles?
Most likely the same.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense. That sounds fun, though. That sounds like a cool event.
At the end of the game, on the last day of the games, usually there's an athletic air pass for the volunteers.
Okay, that's pretty cool. Awesome. All right, we'll have Chloe go next.
Okay, I see a lot of volunteering in my community, but I also find that, like Caitlin said, since COVID, it's been really hard, and I find there's been a lot less of it, but I do... Because I do a lot of volunteering myself, I find that I also see, like, a lot of volunteering, but it's also a lot of the same people.
Mm-hmm. COVID has definitely made it harder to recruit new ones, and having restrictions on how many people you can have, it's also hard to kind of develop people into those roles as well. That's definitely a struggle right now. Alrighty, we'll have Jana finish us off.
I see a lot of mostly older people that volunteer a lot in my town. I don't really see a lot of younger people like myself. It's probably because they're shy or they don't know how to get involved. I see there's a person named Genevieve that lives in my community, and he is involved in a lot of like Aboriginal, everything that has to do with Aboriginal activities, and I see him being involved in a lot, especially with the march that happened closer to the beginning of the year. And in my school, I see it's mostly the same teachers that are involved with like sports, like Mr. Hart in my school, or Toby, or Miss Filzer. They're all, every year, they're like the people who organize things. Yeah,
I definitely find in a school there's usually that key group of teachers who group together and usually do a lot of the volunteering and different activities. But it's great that it's not just falling on one teacher, because that's a lot of responsibilities. Alrighty, I believe that's everyone. So we'll move on to our next part, which is going to be about our core competencies. So if you are following along in the slides, that's going to be slide 15 to 17 for this next part here. So in this learning event, we focus on people as a form of resource or capacity. In other learning events, we focus more on the resources people need to make for recreation to happen, things such as like money, equipment, and facilities. When we then build people capacity. We're strengthening skills and knowledge and developing values and attitudes by gaining experiences that we can share with others. So slide 15, that goes into our competencies that includes things like skills, knowledge, attitudes, values, and experiences. So you might be familiar with some of these, preparing healthy meals or being a part of a team and things like that. So I'll just read through them for anyone who's not able to open the slides. So we have recreation foundation, recreation leadership, building an engaging community, recreation and sports system, planning for community recreation, board governance, groups and partnerships, risk management, budgeting and funding, quality programs and events, facilities and outdoor spaces, promotion and marketing, and staffing and volunteers, which we just kind of touched on. So, in the North, we have identified these 13 core competencies for recreation leaders. And these competencies are a framework or way to think about what leaders need to know and do in order to be effective in their roles and jobs. So we also use these competencies to identify different types of learning or training that are needed. The Recreation North Training Program has developed a variety of different learning events based on this competency model. These learning events help Northerners, such as yourselves, feel a little more confident and capable in their recreation leadership abilities. So if we go down to slide 16, it introduces activity 4, which helps you understand competency. So it has a little bit of a definition, being that competency is a combination of attitudes, knowledge, skills, and experience. And indicator is a description to help you understand the different knowledge and skills that together make up the capacity. So this activity lets you flip through the different definitions and kind of help you study them and go over them a little bit. So that's a great resource going into your last activity. And then if you go down to slide 17, it introduces activity 5. And activity 5 is an optional activity that's designed to help you discover your strengths as a recreation leader. And although it's not required, it'll really help you complete this week's learning activity. And these activities might help you identify areas that are needed for growth. So if we just stop for a moment and consider what we've learned about yourself as a leader, we're going to go around in the circle. And if you prefer to listen, you can say pass or add your thoughts at the end. That's always an option. So our question is, what did you learn about yourself as a leader? Or is there something you didn't realize is leadership strength that you have? So I can go first, and then we'll go in the same order as last time. So I'll go me, Amanda, Caitlin, Alicia, Eliza, Chloe, and Jana. So I'll begin. So something that I didn't realize is a leadership strength that I do have is really being a good listener and communicating well, because I've always thought that to be a good leader, you have to, like, be in front of everybody and be center of attention and kind of lead the room and get everybody on board. But a big piece to it is really being a good listener and having open conversations with people, so you can really build that trust with people. And that's something that I've been working on, and I think that I've really grown with. So that one's me. I'll pass it off to Amanda, and then Caitlin can go next.
Right, so I'll just remind everyone of the question. So the question that Abby asked is just, what did you learn about yourself as a leader, or is there something you didn't realize is a leadership strength that you have? So for myself, when I was growing up, like, I always thought that the leader had to be, like, the person on the stage and, I don't know, doing the talking or the directing or whatever. But what I've actually found and what I actually love even more is being the person behind the scenes. So a great example of this is the annual conference for the Rec and Parks Association that I used to coordinate. I did not want to be the MC, so the person introducing everyone. I just wanted to be the person in the background that was coordinating everything to make sure everything was happening smoothly. And so that, like, I realized is certainly a strength of mine, because I love organizing, but also just the fact that I'm happy to let people that love being up on stage and love being the people that talk and do the introduction, but that's their strength, and I'm happy for them to do that, and I will look after the logistics in the background. So I started to learn a lot more that, you know, playing to people's leadership strengths and allowing them to do what works for them. So, Caitlin, I'll pass it to you. The question is, what did you learn about yourself as a leader, or is there something you didn't realize is a leadership strength that you have?
So I learned about, So I learned that leadership doesn't have to always have a flashy title, and I used to always think that that title made you a leader, when in reality, you don't need it to become a leader. And you don't have to, like, be alone in leaders, in your leadership role. You can be a leader while working with other people who are also leaders. I think
I definitely find that, and I think that there's a lot of times where there are groups of leaders who are working together and not necessarily one significant leader. I think that a lot of times it's a group who are leading something, and that recognition kind of goes in a circle because they're leading in different ways as well. That's awesome. Thanks. And then, Alicia, if you're good to go, I'll just repeat the question. So what did you learn about yourself as a leader, or is there something you didn't realize is a leadership strength that you have?
Can I go off?
Okay, sounds good. So we'll move it to Eliza then. Sorry, did you say you needed more time?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll come back to you then if that's all right. Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
All right. So that was Alicia. We'll move to Eliza then. Or was that Eliza? I'm getting my names mixed up.
Can I go last?
Yeah, for sure.
No worries.
All right, we'll move on to Chloe then.
Okay, I think one thing was that I was good at kind of just helping everybody work as a team and just being able to talk with everybody, especially if there was, like, a disagreement within a team. I always felt that I was, like, good at talking through that with people, and I didn't really recognize that as a leadership skill, but I guess it is for good communication and for people to, like, collaborate together.
It definitely is, and being able to be that person to kind of step in and make sure that things are getting sorted out before they escalate is a really great thing to have, so that's awesome. All right, we'll move on to Jana if you're ready to go.
Is one of them, what's the surprising thing that you, what was the second question?
The second part is there something you didn't realize is a leadership strength that you have?
I think, making sure everyone is involved and making sure that everyone has a say in things because, like in my friend group, if someone isn't, if it looks like they're not really engaged or if they're having a bad day, I make sure that they're okay. I'm always like, are you okay? Like, what's wrong? Just to make sure that they're having a good time as well. And it's not just everyone else and then they're just by themselves.
Yeah, for sure. Being able to identify that is a huge thing and making sure that everyone's included and having fun. It's a really big part to having successful programs, too, and making sure that people keep coming back. So that's great that you can identify that. Awesome. So we'll bring it back to Alicia if you're ready to go, or you can pass.
Okay. I realized that just listening to other people's thoughts is a form of leadership. Hello?
Hi, sorry. I'm having trouble hearing this. I have really old headphones in. Could you repeat that? Sorry.
I realize that just listening to other people's thoughts is a form of leadership, like getting to understand them and getting to know them. And like,
yeah, listening is definitely a huge piece. I agree with that, definitely. And it's something that I've tried to work on myself because I think it's something that is a bigger deal than might seem, and it often goes underestimated. So it's great that you can identify that for sure. All right, we'll move on to Eliza if you're ready.
I didn't really think of anything.
That's all right. If you think of something later, you can jump in, or you can pass on this one if you want to.
Okay, I'll pass.
Okay, sounds good. I believe that everyone, unless someone else had anything they wanted to add to that, I'll just kind of leave it open. Okay, I think we're good. I think Amanda's going to do a little recap of our competencies really quick.
Yep, no problem. So I had told Abby, I just want to recap a little bit about those competencies. I know some of you didn't have a chance yet to do activity number 4 because you didn't have internet access or whatever. So activity number 4, yes, it is just a reading flip card activity. So there isn't anything you need to submit. It's to help with your knowledge. So those core competencies that Abby was talking about are on slide 15. So there's those 13 areas. And activity number 4 just explains more in detail what are those areas. So what does risk management even mean? Like, what are we looking for when we talk about risk management? Same with board governance. Like some of you might know about that, but some of you might not know what board governance is. Other areas you might be really familiar with, like staffing and volunteers or promotion and marketing. So, you know, spreading the word about your activity or event that you're doing. So there might be some areas here that you're really familiar with and areas that are brand new to you. And that's okay. I'm not expecting, nor is Abby, that any of you know all of these 13 areas. So there'll be areas that you know and some areas that you don't. Just like there'll be areas that you already have a bit of skill and knowledge in and some areas that you don't have any, and maybe it's something that you want to grow and develop. So activity number 4 is reading about each of those competencies and what they mean. Then on slide 17, Abby said that there's an activity number 5 that's optional. Slide 17, sorry about that, it says to email to Caroline. I'm just reading this. You're emailing it to me, Amanda, if you want. So activity 5 is optional. It's just a bit of an assessment tool. There will be things that you will probably be like, zero, I have no idea about this. I've never heard of this before, and that's totally okay. We're just trying to get a baseline of what to know about these core competencies and how they relate to your leadership. So activity 5 is really just a way to self-reflect on what areas do you know and what areas don't you know anything, and from that, what are things that you would like to work on and develop. Because it's optional, you don't have to email it to me. But if you would like to share it with me and want me to provide feedback, I'm happy to do that. And you can do that activity anytime now. Okay, does anybody have questions about those core competencies or activity 4 and 5 before I pass it back to Abby? Okay, hearing none, Abby, it's back to you, my dear.
All right, sounds good. So we'll keep moving forward. So before getting into our last question for the call, we're just going to go through some resources that are on slides 18 through 19. And they offer some additional ways to learn and grow as a leader and explore more. There's more sets of resources for you there. So one offers indigenous perspectives on leadership and another provides several different tools to help you better understand leadership styles. So looking at them, we have the Recreation North Training Program, which this is a learning event for, and then the Northern Recreation Network, which is a Facebook group for recreation leaders across the North and all the territories, and then all of the different territorial recreation and parks associations. So in the Northwest Territories, ours is the middle icon there on slide 18, which is MWT Recreation and Parks Association. And then slide 19 has some formal training and education. So there's the Mackay School of Community Government, which has a course calendar there for you. And then the Nunavut one doesn't really apply to us. And then there's also the Canadian Recreation and Parks Association website that has some professional development, which is going to be courses and webinars that you could take potentially there as well. And then there's also a list of post-secondary programs there for you to look at. So if you can access it right now, know that all the links are in there for you to look at if any of those interest you. So to wrap up our learning events, we're going to reflect on ways that we can continue growing as recreation leaders. So you can take notes during this discussion if you want to, if you think that anything might help during this last learning activity, which is going to be your leadership growth plan. And if you're not comfortable sharing again, you can say pass, or you can email us your thoughts later or anything like that if you want to talk about it. So one more question for us to wrap this up, and then we'll talk about your final learning activity. So the order we're going to go in for this one, it'll go myself, Amanda, and then Jana, Chloe, Eliza, Alicia, and Caitlin. So our question is, how will you continue to grow as a recreation leader, or are there steps you want to take to grow as a recreation leader at home, school, work, or anything else? So I can start us off. I think one thing that I want to do is grow as a recreation leader at school. Because right now I'm in college and I'm participating on a hockey team here, but I also want to get a little more involved with different school activities and programs and volunteer opportunities. I find that when I'm in the Northwest Territories, I'm pretty active with volunteering and coaching, and I really enjoy those things, but when I'm at school, I don't really make time for it. But it's something that I enjoy doing, and I want to be able to branch out and have new experiences and potentially new activities and work with different age groups. So that's one that I would like to focus on. So we'll have Amanda go next, and then we'll have Jana.
Thanks, Abby. So my one that I'm mostly focused on right now to keep growing as a recreation leader is training other people to teach Steve where he needs them. So instead of me being the one that is the primary person always teaching, I'm now kind of taking the time to mentor other people to teach these learning events and I guess kind of grow myself out of that and leave room to grow into something else. So that's my plan at the moment for growth.
Well, I'm very grateful for that, for one. Yeah, so we'll have Jana go next. I'll just repeat the question for you. So the question is, how do you continue to grow as a recreation leader, or are there steps you want to take to grow as a recreation leader at home, school, work, or in any other environment? So you can go ahead whenever you're ready, Jana.
I started to join a club at school. It's the SAD group,
is Students Against Drinking and Driving. So I kind of started to get out of my comfort zone a little bit. So I kind of want to grow as a leader there, try being more involved, and yeah, just starting there, I guess, and being more involved with that. And also, like, here in this program, to be able to, even if I don't have anything to say, I just want to be able to put in my thoughts and try to get myself more involved in conversations. And
yeah, that's awesome. I think something I definitely wish I did in high school was be a part of more clubs instead of just sporting teams. And that's something I kind of regret that I'm trying to work on now that I'm older. So it's awesome that you're getting involved in that. So we'll have Chloe go next and then Eliza. So whenever you're ready there, Chloe.
Okay. I think one way I'm going to continue to grow as a leader is to continue to push myself outside my comfort zone. And by doing that, I'm going to be trying to, like, talk in front of more people more often. I have trouble talking in front of crowds and stuff, and so I want to be able to be more comfortable doing that.
Yeah, for sure. That's a great goal to have, and that's something I've definitely struggled with a bit, and just having practice with it and doing it more often goes a long way with that, and you'll definitely be more comfortable in bigger groups, smaller groups, things like that, kind of working your way up through that. So that's great. So, Eliza, if you're ready, you can share, and then we'll have Alicia go after you.
Can we pass for now?
Yep, you can pass for now, and then we'll come back to you later. Sounds good.
Okay.
All right, so we'll go to Alicia then, and then Caitlin.
Okay. I love teaching young kids new things or sports they don't know yet. It's fun to watch them learn how to do a new sport. It's cute. And I look forward to joining more clubs as COVID restrictions calm down. And I can relate to Chloe's response about trying to speak or join conversation. Was it something like that?
Mm-hmm. That's great. And your point about waiting for COVID to slow down, I definitely agree with, because there's things that I really want to get involved with, but it's just not a possibility right now, which is kind of frustrating, but we do have to wait for that. So. Awesome. All right, we'll have Caitlin go ahead, and then we'll come back to Eliza if you have something to add.
I want to be more involved within my community and town. I'm already fairly involved at school, so either trying to mix school and community together or just trying to be part of more events within my town, I think is a good thing to try and work on leadership-wise and could really help with communication and teamwork and meeting new people. So, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And the more groups that you are able to get involved with, the more people that you get to learn from and all those different perspectives. So getting involved with many different things is going to be a great way to learn more things. So that's great. So we'll circle back to Eliza if you have anything you wanted to add to this one.
I can't really think of anything right now. Can I email them to you?
Yeah, for sure. You can send them to Amanda. Yeah. No problem. Alrighty. Thanks, everyone, for sharing that. That was awesome. So we're just going to kind of talk about our leadership growth plan. So I'll touch on it, and then I'll let Amanda kind of take over because you will be submitting it to her through email. So for this one, you're going to be developing a leadership growth plan, and there is a template provided in Moodle under Weeks 3 and 4 for you.
And this growth plan is not shared with other people. It's just between yourself and the trainer. So emailing it directly to Amanda is how you're going to submit it. And this activity is just for you to kind of reflect on everything, so there's no right or wrong answer. But we do want you to think about it and really reflect on yourself as a leader. So if you need to talk it through or anything, you can let myself or Amanda know, and we can set up a time for a phone call to kind of talk things through, bounce off ideas, and work through it together. So I'll let Amanda talk about that a bit more, and then, yeah, we'll wrap things up for today.
Great. Thanks, Abby. So, yeah, like Abby said, activity number 7 is your leadership growth plan. So it is a Word document that you will download. So you're, again, just logging into your learn.recnorth.ca. You're going to the RL 101, and then you're going to activity number 7. You're going to download the Word document and fill that out. So a couple things just about it as you're filling it out. Like Abby said, it's only shared with me, so you're not posting it for everyone in this group to read. All of the questions are lots of reflections. So the questions that we're talking about are, what have I learned about myself? The Youth Ambassador Program has helped me grow. My strengths as a leader are, my opportunities for growth are. So some of these are things that we already talked about, and that's totally fine that we already talked about, and you can put those answers in. You're going to have a little bit of a part that you're going to write about your goals, and then how are you going to reach these goals? And what do you see differently about your future? So an example is, like, if you want to speak more in public or in front of your friends, what steps are you going to take to do that? So maybe it's committing to, having more say or input in a conversation that you're having, or telling yourself that once a week you're going to, like, step out of your comfort zone and be the leader of your group or something like that. And then just thinking about, how do you think you will feel, or what will be different if you do those things? How is that going to impact you? Okay, so that's really what you're filling out. It's really your own personal thoughts and your personal goals. And you're sending that to me. If you're having problems with it, you can text or call or email me, and I will help you work through that. And then there is an activity number 8, and that's due on November 28th. And it's really just a quick feedback about this learning event. So it's your opportunity to give us some feedback and some insight, things you liked, things that were helpful, things that could be improved, to do that. So, yeah, really between now and next Wednesday is when you're going to do activity number 4, that reading if you have it, activity number 5 if you want, and then activity number 7 is the one that you need to do, and that needs to be submitted by November 24th. And then after that, the feedback, which you'll be able to give until November 28th. Does anyone have questions about that? I will send an email also just reminding you of here's what you need to do. But does anyone have questions? Okay, Abby, back to you then.
Alrighty, I think that pretty much wraps up our call. Again, if there's any questions about anything, you can feel free to email Amanda, or we can set up a phone call with one of us, anything like that. Or if there's anything that you wanted to share today that you didn't think of quite on time and you want to share it anyways, feel free to email those as well. And yeah, if you have any questions, you can stay on the line after recording. But overall, thank you for joining today, and I was really glad with the conversation that we had today. I think that it was awesome when we were able to really share some ideas and things that are going to be really useful for your growth plan that me and Amanda are going to go over later on. So thank you for participating. That was awesome. And yeah, stay on if you have any questions. But other than that, have a great day, and I look forward to looking at your growth plans.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Have a good evening.
Amanda?
Yep.
Can you send me the questions that were asked today?
Yeah, just give me 1 second. Just hang on the phone for just a second.
Okay, by text?